Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast, gathering evidence from the literature. I'm Mike Pratz, and today I'm joined by Jacob Avila and Cray Bolger.
What's up?
How are you guys doing today?
Doing
amazing. Excited to talk about some important articles today.
Today, the first article we're going to talk about is titled Ultrasound Use During Cardiopulmonary Resuscitation is Associated with Delays in Chest Compressions. It's kind of a bold title.
It's a bold title, but it is kind of like it says what their whole conclusion was.
That about sums it up. I think
let's
we can
just end.
We're done.
And we're done. So the reason this is important is because we, and by we I mean us ultrasound peeps, and hopefully everyone else, is pushing using ultrasound during your codes for a couple of reasons. The first one is you want to see if there's an identifiable cause of that patient being in arrest, you know, like a tamponade or a tension pneumothorax or something like that. But the other thing is it kind of lets you know a little bit better what's going on with the heart. You know, asystole, V-fib, you know, VTAC, all those things that help guide your management, the ultrasound can help you diagnose. And we talk about it a lot. There was that REASON trial that kind of talked about it as well to help guide management. Now, this study was designed to look and see how, if at all, the ultrasound delays chest compressions at all, which, you know, chest compressions, especially if they have, you know, asystole or PEA or something like that, is super important. And Mike, what did they find?
Let me tell you how they did this study. So it was pretty brilliant in its simplicity. Basically, they just videoed every arrest that they could, and then they timed how long people were off the chest, and they compared people that got ultrasound to people that did not get ultrasound. So this took place at a single institution. They included anybody that was an adult in cardiac arrest, either prior to arrival or while in the ED. They excluded people only if they were not in one of their three resuscitation rooms that had video monitoring capabilities. So that's kind of a limited sample, but anybody that went into these rooms got videoed, and then later they analyzed it and timed it out. How long were you off the chest, and did you get an ultrasound or not? So they counted each individual pulse check in a number of patients. So, Cray, tell us what they found in this.
So they had a fairly small N. Only 23 patients were enrolled over the year. But they had 123 pulse checks. And what they found is that the POCUS pulse checks, so where ultrasound was used during them, had a time off the chest of 21 seconds, which is double the recommended by the AHA.
No.
Sadness. Without POCUS, the time off the chest was 13 seconds, which is still more than the AHA recommends, which is a total of 10 seconds. And so from this, they concluded that POCUS doubles the time off the chest, therefore POCUS is harmful in cardiac arrest. Which, again, is a pretty bold statement and I think has a lot of room for discussion at this point.
But, Cray, I mean, it's a bold statement, but that's what they found, right? I mean, they found that even you use your ultrasound, you are delaying ROSC.
Yeah, after reading this article, I just threw away all the ultrasound machines in our department.
Yeah, yeah, I immediately threw them in the fire.
So I think I have a lot, I feel like, more questions than answers maybe from this. So they showed some time difference and that's, you know, significant, but my question is why and how and who? So are they training the residents to do this the right way? You know, the way we teach our residents to do it is you do a countdown when you're ready to do a pulse check, and we say we're going to do a pulse check in 5 seconds. Is the ultrasound ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We also train them not to interpret the image real time, but to save a clip and just merely state cardiac activity or not. And usually that keeps us off the chest less than 5 seconds because we're pulling somebody right back up. And then we review the clip for any reversible causes, so tamponade, clot, anything like that.
That's a key pearl right there. I think that if you're trying to reduce the time off the chest, which you should be trying to minimize that time, if you, especially if you're on the novice side of ultrasound, don't waste time trying to interpret it after you found your view, because chances are by the time you got a decent view, a good amount of time has already passed. So just get your view, save a clip, and then interpret it after they have already restarted their compressions. And I think that will help minimize this time as well.
Another thing that I am worried about is who was like letting them go longer than the 10 seconds. I mean, when we're doing our codes here, like we have someone telling us, you know, 10 seconds are up. And at that point, they should be just off the chest and start compressions. You know, and that's kind of like my big issue with this. Who is allowing them to go that far?
There should be some sort of mechanism in place where people are reminded. And I think that's one thing that's not unique to ultrasound. There's other things that can delay the resuscitation and delay the CPR that we know is going to be helpful.
Meds, intubation, IV access, any other potentially life-saving procedure.
They tried to account for that in this study too. They did note during the pulse checks if there was a procedure being performed at the same time. They found ultimately that it did increase the time by 2.9 seconds, but that wasn't statistically significant.
Yeah, the other question is who's doing the ultrasounds? Is this like a med student? Is this a trained faculty? Is this a resident?
Right.
What view are they obtaining? You know, this has been potentially one of the bigger arguments for the transesophageal ultrasounds in the emergency department is that this becomes a moot point. You can actually monitor quality of compressions. You can do your pulse check in, you know, less than 5 seconds because you're just quickly glimpsing at a screen and then jumping right back on. And so I think there's a lot of variables that are unknown in this study. I don't think this is a go throw out the probes and the machines, as Mike said, type of study.
I don't want people to think that we don't believe this is an important concept. We recognize that in CPR, one of the few things that we know is important is maintaining that circulation to the brain and to the heart. We don't want increased pauses. And if ultrasound causes that, then it's probably not worth it. But on the other hand, there's probably ways that you can minimize that and therefore use the advantages of ultrasound without any disadvantages.
So I'm not mad about this paper at all. Like, I'm actually kind of happy that it came out because it kind of, I don't know, it in a sense, it reminds me to like not be dumb about it. Like, remember that the most important thing is the chest compressions and the defibrillation. Like, those are probably, or the, you know, the cardioversion. Those are probably the most important things. And that ultrasound, while it is an important tool, you got to remember kind of the rules and remember how to be a physician and use your ultrasound to help you do that. Not use it to impede, you know, your resuscitation because you think it's cool and you want to get that perfect view of the heart.
Yeah, I think in chest compressions, it's a quantitative assessment, not a qualitative assessment. So yes, no beating, back up on, and then like I said, review your clips. This also, I think, is a push for better education about this concept, how to do it, how this is different than your, you know, other bedside ultrasounds, and kind of what you said, Jacob, is in reinforcing the importance of the only thing proven to save lives and cardiac arrests is high quality compressions, and so those should never be put aside for anything else.
So let me just summarize this article briefly. This was a prospective study in a single center. They enrolled 23 patients, 123 pulse checks. Pulse checks with ultrasound, 21 seconds. Pulse checks without ultrasound, 13 seconds. The take-home points I have from this article is that ultrasound does pose a risk of delaying your chest compressions in arrest, and you should be cognizant of that. However, don't stop doing it because there are other advantages. Just do it smart. All right, well, thanks for listening to us. We thank the authors for doing this study. It adds to our knowledge on the topic. And thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, you can go to our website at ultrasoundgel.org or sign up for our podcast through any podcasting app. Look forward to hearing from you. Talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.
You need a good like blueberry smoothie or something. Some antioxidants.